Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
I tell you, I love singing about the blood. Don't you love singing about the blood? It's so important. I love the hymn writer when he said, "The Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God." I love the message of the blood. I preached on the blood when I was in Africa just because, you know, no matter where I go, I just always feel it's important that people have a real remarkable but living, working revelation of the blood. Because, you know, when you understand the blood, you realize that you are perfect. And you are perfect. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "You are perfect." You know, the blood declares that I am perfect. The blood says that I am perfect. You know, when God looks at you, he sees you through Jesus, and Jesus is perfect, therefore you are perfect. In the old covenant, when they brought the sacrifice, the priest did not examine the one who brought the sacrifice, he examined the sacrifice. So you could come with, you know, 4 teeth knocked out, your hair not clean, and smelling like a barnyard. And it didn't matter. The priest didn't look at you. He looked at the quality of your sacrifice. It had nothing to do with you. Nothing. Nothing. That's why it's nothing but the blood. Nothing. By no other means. You can. It says the priest could come once a year into the Holy of Holies, but not without blood. Not without blood. You can't come into the presence of God except by the blood. You cannot be declared righteous except by the blood. And when you accept the finished work of the cross, you are declared not just righteous, but the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am perfect. I cannot be improved upon. I cannot be diminished. I cannot be diminished one little bit. The perfection I have in him cannot be marred. It cannot be removed. I cannot be taken out of his hands. I am forever a child of God. Forever righteous in him. It cannot be touched, encroached upon, or removed. The devil has no ability, none whatsoever, to penetrate the finished work of the cross. The blood declares my freedom, my healing, my liberty, and my righteousness once and for all. My, my, my. Nothing but the blood. And you know, any other way or any other means is a religious activity that is a stench in the nostrils of God. The freedom of the cross, the glory message of the blood is such good news to somebody like me. I thank that God's righteousness has been poured upon me, the gift of righteousness. Through the gift of righteousness, we reign in life. Yes, yes. Well, there we go. I tell you, just think about the blood just a little bit and just mess me all up right there. All right, that was good. It's good. It's good, good, good. Hallelujah. Go into all the world. Praise Jesus. Go into all the world. So Cheryl and I had a pretty radical adventure. We were in 3 continents in 15 days, ministering in a lot of interesting places. And boy, was it some fun, was it not? I tell you, what a privilege it is to minister and to travel with my wife. I can't tell you what a joy that is. I just enjoy being with her, but it's just so much better to travel with your wife, to travel with your partner in the purposes of God. And to experience what that feels like, I tell you, I thank you. I thank you as a church that you have freed us to do that and free both of us to go and to minister like that. You have no idea what a strength it is to me and to Cheryl and to experience these things together. It's truly a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. This is the Apostle Paul, and when they went out, Barnabas and Paul, on their first missionary journey, it says in Acts chapter 14 that they went back to where they were sent from. And it says, upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything. They reported everything. Now, here's a condition that God had done through them. I like that, reported everything. Amen? All right, so here's the next slide. All right, so I want to report everything. We took some stuff from Africa to India. We didn't mean to. But somewhere, I think it was in our first hotel room that they put us in, the windows were all open when we got there, but I, I think what happened was some tumbu flies got in there and laid some eggs on our towels. We're trying to figure it out, but with the gestation period and everything else, I'm not incredibly scientific. I don't have all the facts and all these things. But I do know for a fact that we did get some tumbu larvae that penetrated our skin. So we realized that when we got to India, because we had some bites that we thought might have been mosquito bites or something else. Then I started checking the mattresses, thought maybe there were bed bugs. But we thank God for the internet. Amen. Yeah. We decided to check on the internet. We kind of thought, here's what we're experiencing. And we put search under the heading, and right away came up tumbu flies. And we saw all kinds of videos and all kinds of exciting things of people who'd experienced what we were experiencing. But they also showed us how to extract the tumbu larvae. Hallelujah. So apparently the larvae have to breathe, so there's a little breathing hole in your skin, which we could see, this little hole. And that explained to me why at night when I put my hand under my pillow to sleep, that this gnawing sensation took place in my arm, because it could not breathe. So it kept on chewing my flesh, trying to get air. And it got painful enough that I lifted my hand out, put it above my head. And so anyways, we got it figured out. And we realized that because they had to breathe, if you put a big blob of toothpaste or Vaseline or something over the hole, it would kind of crawl out a bit because it needed air. And when it popped its head out and started to crawl out a bit, you could take the tweezers and pull him out of your skin. So, my only disappointment in all of this is that I was not videotaping the extractions, because I have never seen my wife so freaked out. This is one situation with bugs and critters that I was the hero. Because she was like, she was manifesting. I thought, my God. And I was like, but we did. I had a double portion. Cheryl only had one, which was good. But I still have these large welts, so I'm hoping we got everything. We searched it out far enough to realize that there's usually only one per hole. And so that was good. Amen. We have to also get some other things checked out, because we successfully experienced about 3 days of constant diarrhea. So did say report everything. Amen. So what I am grateful for, though, is that the diarrhea had subsided by the time we got to Frankfurt. We were in Frankfurt for a day, just in the turnaround, just with the jet lag, took a day in Frankfurt. And so I was glad that we'd pretty much recovered from that, because in Frankfurt, all the toilets cost a dollar. So, actually a euro. So it's a bit more than a dollar. And I thought at the rate Cheryl was going, I was going to have to cash in my RSPs. But anyway, so hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So that was good. So for those who don't know, we did go to Africa, to Ghana. Went for our world conference. I ministered at the world conference. What an honor. We had over 1,000 of our pastors from over 36 nations. We have 95 nations where we have churches. We had 36 nations were able to participate. And it was pretty glorious to be there with over 1,000 pastors from our fellowship around the world. And so what a joy to be there. It was an honor for me to minister at the conference. And what a glorious fellowship we are part of. Millions and millions of people around the world that we are in fellowship with and our family. And there's something wonderful about getting together with a group of people like this, because you feel the same DNA, you feel the sense of family. It's immediate, and it's wonderful to experience. And we are part of a real glorious group filling the globe with the glory of God. So that was quite a joy. So I just want to look at Matthew chapter 16. If you go to Matthew chapter 16, after we were finished with Africa, we went on to India to visit Jacob and Dory, who are Jacob. We went to see Jacob 14 years ago. We went to see Jacob and Dory, and Jacob had just, his father had passed away a couple years earlier, and so he had taken over his father's church. There's about 180 people in the church, and Jacob would ride around block to block with his bicycle and his little voice box, and he would preach the gospel on street corners, and it was just an amazing thing. And Jacob had married a girl from our church in Uxbridge, Dory. And so we wanted to go and encourage Dory and be there for them. And my father was invited to go and minister. And Jacob wanted to do kind of an outdoor conference. But my father said, yeah, I'll send my son. it's probably because my dad wouldn't have liked the stuff that we went through. So anyway, praise Jesus. Ali, he said he deferred to the son for that. That was good. So, but Jacob, now the church there, every year we went back, the church had grown and expanded. Right now, every piece of property is covered. They're using every square inch of property and above. They've gone several floors up on the building now. And in the building, they can fit probably just around 1,600 people in the building now. And it's two floors. And the second floor, they do it all through video camera. And this past Sunday, they had over 4,900 people in worship this past Sunday. So that was pretty awesome, I must say. And it's in three services on Sunday, a service on Friday morning. Their service on Friday morning, I think, had 1,500 people. It was incredible. And then the Saturday night and Sunday night. So they thousands of people going through there on a weekend. And they have air conditioned the church now and put in beautiful paneling and a ceiling. And I mean, my goodness, I said, man, that church looks better than the one we got at home now. And it's so awesome to see what God is doing there. It really, really is. You'd be so blessed to see how God is moving there and what he's doing. We visited our orphanage as well and just spent some time encouraging them and really had a blessed experience. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Here it is. Now listen. And he said to them, but what do you, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one who is to come. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus jumped up, spun around, and went, woo! That's what happened. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't reason this out. This wasn't something you figured out. This is not something that came through the natural plane. You had a supernatural encounter with God. What you received and what you just said was not something you conjured up or you figured out or you diagnosed or got through any revelation of your own. Heaven just invaded your mindset. Heaven invaded your earth and gave you a revelation of who I am. Said, you are the Christ, and this is a supernatural revelation. The Father, it was my Father who was in heaven who revealed this to you. And I will also say this, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Heaven. Hallelujah. I love the Amplified. The Amplified verse 19 says, they'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind and you declare to be proper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. I like that. It says, what you bind and declare unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose and declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. He's saying, because now you're operating out of heaven, because now you're operating on supernatural revelation, you can engage heaven and you can get a revelation of what is bound in heaven and what is loosed in heaven. And you can declare now in earth what you have seen and what you have received through revelation. You can loose heaven on earth and you can bind anything that's opposed to the activity of heaven on earth. You now have keys. You have access to revelation to loose the kingdom of God on the earth. And on this revelation, on the revelation that you have received that I am the Christ, that revelation, on that revelation, I will build my church. I mean, I love this passage of scripture, but I especially felt impacted in this last several weeks because going through several nations, going through three continents, the interesting thing I saw in three different continents was I saw church. Wherever I went, I saw church. Wherever I went, I saw that places had been built and established, that people were gathering in locations, that there were crosses on steeples, that there were defining places throughout those three continents where the revelation that he is the Christ was being acknowledged, was being worshipped, was being proclaimed and extolled. In those three continents, what Jesus said would be done was being done. And I thought, this is amazing stuff. Because if you think about it, if you go back and you were able to be brought through time and see where Jesus was when he told them this, and this is why India is such a neat trip for me, because India, especially when you get into some of the rural areas of India, you feel like you've gone back in time. You feel like you've really traveled back into some place that just has not at all caught up with where the rest of the world is. And you're going through places where you don't have porcelain toilets. You just have a hole in the floor. And that hole in the floor isn't really hooked up to anything. It just kind of flows out into this trench in the street. And the trench is it's just flowing with stuff. And it's messy. It's dirty. It's filthy. And you're just going, my God. And then when you minister, the people literally throng you. They don't care who says no, what, anything. They press in. Every single one of them wants to touch you no matter what. And it's just, it's odd, but some of the things you read in the Bible, they're placed in a different context for you when you see and experience these kind of things. But what I thought about was that Jesus said this. Jesus in a messy, smelly little corner of the world, in a corner of the world where those who were the rulers, the Roman rulers of the age, if you were to be sent to Judea or sent to this part of the earth, it was like a punishment. Nobody wanted to go there. Nobody wanted to be from there. Nobody, but this is where Jesus was sent. This is where Jesus was, and he had a group of 12 that possibly to call them average would be a compliment. To this group of 12, Jesus took them aside and he said, fellas, who do people say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And then just on that one revelation that you are the Christ, Jesus made this bold, huge statement in this little armpit of the world with 12 very average guys that on this revelation and with you guys, I'm telling you, I will build my church. And the gates of hell won't be able to resist the advance of my purposes in the earth. Now, if you could be dragged into the scenario and really see it and just be an observer or a tourist who was just looking on, you'd have laughed your head off and thought, look at this motley group. Look at where you are. This won't get out of the neighborhood. This won't even get down the next block, let alone fill the world. Are you kidding me? But I was there. I was in Africa with leaders from nations of the world. I was there, went to India, and was ministering to thousands of pastors in India that had nothing to do with that little desolate place in Judea. But there they are, lifting up the name of Christ. So incredible. So incredible. So going to rural India, it's like going back in time. You feel like you get a picture of that Eastern world. Just pop me a couple more screens there. There you go. Give me another one. All right. Where Jesus made his declaration, considered the worst place to live. No one wanted to go there. It's hard to believe the gospel could even get out of there, honestly. All right. So these 12 average guys did what they did. Now, here's the amazing thing, though. Today, from all over the world, people go to Rome. Think about it. Going into Rome. And why do they go to Rome? Do they go to Rome to see Nero? They go to Rome to see St. Peter's Basilica. They go to Rome to see where Peter's buried. They go to Rome to follow the tracks of the Apostle Paul and see where his life was ended. I mean, Jesus said that little thing in that little corner in that place of nowhere to some very, very average guys. I'm sure if you'd have talked to them later and said, man, are you crazy? I'm sure if you'd have talked to Paul when he was dragged to the Colosseum and then he's beheaded, I'm sure if you had told him, was it worth it? I mean, was any of this worth it? But now, isn't it amazing that Paul, a witness of it all, sees that what he did, what he gave his life for, is literally filling the whole known world. And it's an amazing thing to see how the church is advancing in the world. So where Jesus made that bold declaration, there it is. There's the glory of God everywhere. So pop ahead, give me a couple more screens. So, all right, stop right there. So here's something I just wrote it down, but it's interesting. I said, today people call their children Peter and Paul, and they call their dog Caesar and Nero. You know, back in those days, you might have thought, wow, I mean, these are the rulers of the day, and these are these little irritating people that we cover them with tar, and we put them on a post, and we set them on fire at our dinner parties. And that's what they did to Christians, you know? And they might have thought, this thing will get nowhere, but it was filling the earth. The gospel was going forward. The church was moving, and the church was filling the earth. And now it must be amazing for Peter and Paul to look on and see that kids are called Peter and Paul, and dogs and pets are called Caesar and Nero. So we see the powerful advance and the power of the gospel. So flip over to Romans chapter 10 with me. Flip over to Romans chapter 10. Hit me another screen there because I've thrown some pictures there. See, there's St. Peter's Basilica. Now, think about that. Here's Peter had that one little revelation, you are the Christ. I mean, look at that. I mean, that's amazing. Right there where the whole Roman Empire was, you look at that, and there's a place. I mean, you can believe whatever you want about the Roman Catholic Church and all those other things and where they're at and what's going on. But you know what? That place was built, and that place lifts up the fact that Jesus is the Christ. That revelation that Jesus is the Christ is what that whole place is built on. Go ahead, give me another one. That's now look at that. That's St. Peter's right here in London. St. Peter, isn't it amazing that, you know, Peter, this little guy who, you know, these guys didn't have a whole lot going on. I mean, Jesus told them that he was going to die and he's going to be raised in the next few days, and they never even showed up for the resurrection. I mean, these guys were going to take the glorious gospel throughout the whole earth. They didn't even show up for the resurrection. I would like to think if I were them, I would have been there with a mariachi band going, a cucaracha, hey, welcome back. Woo! But you know, I mean, these are the guys, it's revelation. Peter, we're going to build on you, going to use you, and none of them, not one of them showed up for the resurrection. It's amazing, but look, I mean, here it is, even all over the world, there are churches named after Peter. And you know, what does it say? I mean, I was just really impacted by the fact that this one revelation that Jesus spoke in the middle of nowhere, he said, I will build my church. And Peter, upon the revelation knowledge that you just experienced, that revelation that Jesus is the Christ is going to fill the globe. And it's amazing. Here, give me another screen. There's the inside of St. Peter's right here in London. How many would love to just go in there and just have a reckless revival? I mean, don't you? I mean, I love church. I love churches that look like churches. I know back in the day I wanted to put a steeple on this place. Everybody goes, what do you want a steeple for? We don't want to look like a church. I love church. I love stained glass. I love pipe organs. I love all that stuff. You know what I mean? It's nothing like somebody really knows how to play a pipe organ. A mighty fortress is our God. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I mean, that just makes me just, You know, you got somebody who can really do it right. That's like crazy. And you hear it just fill the cathedral. Everybody's saying, my goodness. St. Peter's. I mean, there's Peter, this little guy. You are the Christ. And I mean, he never showed up for the resurrection. I mean, my God. All right. Give me another picture. I meant to focus that a bit better. That's one of the cathedrals in Frankfurt when we were there. And I just loved being there because so much of the history of Martin Luther's there. We went to a restaurant and they had a plaque right there that Martin Luther used to go to that restaurant. I sat there beside that. I just felt Reformation burning in my blood, you know? You know, here's a guy who just came against the institution and took his thesis and nailed it to the wall. And this guy preached in some of these places, walked these grounds. I was just feeling that reformer blood going, yeah! It's time for another Reformation. But another amazing church. Here it is, and that's all going on, all fulfilling that one thing that Jesus said in that smelly little place in Judea to 12 guys, I will build my church. Man, and they're everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, we wouldn't have thought it would get out of the neighborhood, but it has. It's amazing. Give me another picture. Look at that. That's, I think that's St. Paul's in London, England. That's St. Paul's. Give me another one. That's one of my favorites right there. That's Notre Dame. Notre Dame in Paris. Have you been to Notre Dame in Paris? We were in Notre Dame in Paris, and they were just about to start the service. And what they did was they were standing very, very close to the altar, and they brought out this huge basin. And then one of the helpers and assistants came and broke all kinds of incense into the basin. And then a priest came out, and he lit it up. And as he lit it up, he began to, like, wave it and waft it. And I'm just watching. And, you know, this is the invocation. This is come, Holy Spirit. And Cheryl and I are sitting there just standing there watching this going, whoa. I said, this is so cool. How come we don't do this? It would be so awesome if I got to break open all this stuff, light the incense up and go, come Holy Spirit. And I was like, man, I said, I could see a revival in this place. Couldn't you? I could see this place. Just the presence of God coming in power and fire. And what they see, this incense, this type and this symbolism, the fullness of the glory of God filling this place. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. That's Notre Dame. That's another place. And you know what? You know what that is built in honor of? You are the Christ. Another one. Give me another one. Look at that. You know what that is? And you know, folks, I'm telling you something. Here, that's New Life Church in Chennai. That's Pastor Jacob Kosi, pastors there. And when I first went, it was a little one-floor, little concrete block building. And there was nothing really there. And suddenly now, that that building has filled the property from one end to the other, totally filled the property. And it's so, I should have shown you some pictures from inside, but inside it's all wood paneling now with beautiful lighting, and it's air conditioned on every floor. It is so awesome. I said, man, I'd come back here and preach without, you know, being a human sprinkler now. This is so cool. But this church now, over 5,000 people on Sunday going through that church. And you know what that church exists to? It exists because of the revelation. Jesus is the Christ. And that is amazing stuff. Give me another one. That's in Ghana, in Africa. That's one of our churches where Cheryl and I ministered two services on Sunday morning. Another church. You know why that exists? It exists because Jesus said something. You know what he said? Jesus said this, I will build my church. Man, it's awesome. Give me another one here. That was at our world conference there. Over 1,000 leaders in the International Conference Center right there, the biggest conference center in Ghana, filled up with all kinds of apostolic believers just loving on Jesus. The choirs and the worship teams are nuts, crazy stuff, talented. It was ridiculous. And they did such a fantastic job, just blew me away. The whole thing was fantastic. But you know what? You know what all those people are there for? You know why they're there? They're all there because in that little sweaty, messy little place there in Judea, in that little spot there, that Jesus said to those 12 little guys, he said, I will build my church. Man, settle down, I know. Give me another one here. There's the inside. Oh, there it is. There's the first floor inside in New Life, Chennai. Now, what's very unfortunate is that Jacob changed the name of the church to New Life because they came under our leadership, and we were New Life, so he changed the name to New Life. But now it's so complicated in their government to change their name that he can't become Impact because it's just too complicated to do, so he's still New Life. So anyway, well, this is New Life Church in Chennai. We have New Life Pastors Fellowship that is huge. Literally thousands and thousands of pastors are connected with the New Life Pastors Fellowship. I want you to understand something, that this church right here, you, just look, point to the person beside you, you are having a ridiculous impact in the world. You are. You know, the little thing sign on here, we got Global Glory is the little thing we got down here. We really are manifesting globally the revelation that God has given us in this little spot. I go to these national world conferences that we have, and I didn't ask to speak. They keep on asking me to speak, and I don't quite get it because there's people who are coming there. We've got our church in Nigeria has over 6.9 million members, and they've got guys who pastor churches of 100,000 in Nigeria. And I'm saying, dude, I pastor a little church in London, Ontario. I mean, you should speak. And they're like, we want to hear from you. We want you to come train our leaders. We want you to do this. And I'm like, wow, I don't really understand it, but I'm more than willing to do it. But even the Ghanaian leader, he's like, at the end of the conference, he came and he just had someone come and get him, and he grabbed me and says, you must come back and train our leaders. And I'm like, you've got over 220 churches in Accra. You have over 700,000 members. I mean, I'm still trying to work it out. No, you must come. We need the spirit that is on you. You must come and train our leaders. And I'm like, dude, I'm not coming because I got bugs. I mean, my God. You know, because like, I would, but... But this is a church that is having an impact in the world, that is running hard with the revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's good. Give me another. That's a fantastic group of people right there. Now, this was the final night at the World Conference, and they took flags from all the nations represented there. And it was really powerful. It was so powerful. We had the national leader of the work in the UK. He stood and he began to pray, lead us in prayer. And we had the flags from all the nations in our organization there. And it just all in one big, huge circle with thousands of people around about us, everybody praying for the nations of the world and for God's glory to fill the earth. That was some moving stuff. It was some powerful stuff. And why am I saying all this? Because it says you got to report everything. I tell you, you should be excited about that. You should be excited that, you know what, you're not a part of a little group that gathers every Sunday here in the corner of Adelaide and Little Simcoe here in London. You're a part of a significant movement that is really touching the globe and doing some incredible things. And for whatever reason, what God is doing here and what he's done in our hearts and lives, we've got favor and we've got influence and we've had incredible exposure throughout this movement. And it's pretty incredible what God wants to do in it through. So give me another slide here. And look at that one right there. Look at that. That's another one right there. Give me another slide. Oh, now this is good stuff. That's just some of our boys. Some of our boys weren't there, but that's some of the boys from our, oh, Jesus. They always have an amazing smile. Well, Dory Rodge, I believe Dory Rodge is the one that they just got out of a dumpster. And Dory Rodge is the one on the far left in the second row. That's Dory Rodge. And we saw Dory Rodge when he was just an infant. And they'd actually, Dory Rodge, they just got him out of a dumpster. Just a baby left in a dumpster. And there's Dory Rodge. And it's got a great smile. It's really awesome. Okay, give me another one. I wanted to do this one. This is from several years ago, but this is a young man named Lawrence. And Lawrence was one of the first ones in our orphanage there. And Lawrence now, we pay for them to go through school, and we also pay for them to go through university. And Lawrence has graduated from university with a degree in engineering. That's Lawrence several years ago, so that's not how he looks now. But Lawrence graduated, and what's incredible is he's a part of the church. He's a part of New Life Chennai. And Jacob said when he got his first paycheck, he came personally and gave me his tithe. I just went, that's awesome. But we've had three of our boys have graduated now with engineering degrees. Isn't that fantastic? So I'm just so excited about what's there. And you know, I believe what we took about $26,000 or $27,000 to the work this last time we went. And, you know, our money sadly doesn't go as far as you think it would in Chennai. Chennai actually is a very, very expensive place. The property in Chennai, the property values in Chennai are more expensive than they are in London, in Toronto, or even Vancouver. To have property there is incredible. We've got a nice chunk of property where our orphanage is there. If we were in rural areas, we could have property given to us to do some of these things, but the properties in Chennai are very expensive, and we're really pretty favored to have the kind of property we do. But, you know, I just really encourage you. This is really incredible what you're doing. This is really incredible what this church is doing, what we're achieving. You should really be thinking, man, pretty awesome. Well, what we do and the generosity that we have, not just in our community here, but the generosity that reaches around the world and the way that you sowed your pastors, you know, into India and into Africa, you should go, wow, we're pretty awesome. So go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, you're pretty awesome. All right. Okay, give me another slide here. This is Pastor Jacob right there, but this fellow with him, his name is Ranish or Rakish or something. Anyway, this fella, he had a sign painting business just about a block away from the meetings, and this was about 10 years ago when we were ministering. They would put speakers on the posts for like a mile away from the meetings. So you didn't even have to be close to the meetings and you could hear the preaching. And over there, they don't care. They really don't care. They just put it up. And so there are speakers everywhere. So literally, you're preaching to this massive thing. But he heard us preaching. He heard me preaching about healing and how healing was yours. It was available right now. Well, he came and he had a violent open sores, just pussing sores in his legs, and they were there all the time. And he had a little temple across the road, and he used to go over there and pour milk and give money and do stuff every day, wanted to be free of this. And he kept on hearing this preaching night after night, and he finally said, you know what? If they can do something for me, I'm going to go. He came in, we laid hands on him, he was immediately healed. His legs were completely restored and totally set free. He just happened to pop in on the Friday morning meeting, so Jacob had him give his testimony. But, you know, his family all turned to Jesus from Hinduism. His mother was in her 90s, and his mother was baptized that year. They had to carry her and lift her into the baptismal tank. But his whole family came to Jesus. Now his daughters have grown up, two daughters married. They're all in the church. It's incredible what's happened with this whole family. Totally. I mean, Jacob said, I got to get him over here. But he says, Pastor, if I came over there for hour after hour after hour, I could give stories of people whose lives have been touched because of the ministry of your church here in India. And each time we go, it's more and more. There's now a whole TV network called Salvation TV in India. Salvation TV, it's a whole TV network. It's run by a fellow named Dr. James. Dr. James got the revelation that he should start this. He was an 18-year-old boy in our meetings 12 years ago. And he came to me and said, God wants me to start a network. Will you pray for me? He now has Salvation TV Network. It's recognized by the government. It's a whole TV network that runs in all Tamil-speaking countries. It goes to over 40 million people just in Tamil Nadu, and he got the revelation that God wanted him to do that in one of our meetings. And he comes, he says, thank you so much for what you did. You poured that revelation into me. I was obedient to it, and God's gone and done that. There's a whole TV network in India broadcasting to more people than we have in Canada the good news of the gospel. And Pastor Jacob has a slot on Monday night that's his for free, and he ministers every Monday night on Salvation TV to Tamil-speaking nations of the world right now, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? I mean, it's just great. There's story after story of what God. Give you another one here. This is interesting because we went to this temple. We went to see this family. This is Ruth is the one beside Cheryl. She's crazy. I said, I should bring you back to Canada and make you a preacher in Canada because she's something else. I tell you, she's amazing. But Ruth and James, he used to go to this temple every Friday. And he used to sacrifice things there, and he used to go there. And he said when they'd have the big holy days, this place would be filled with thousands and thousands of people. We'd have all kinds of blood sacrificed. He says, literally, you could see in the haze clouds of demons coming. People would go into fits and rages and all kinds of crazy things. He said, I'd see people healed. I'd see miracles and all kinds of things. All of that take place. And he says, I spent a lot of money and a lot of time. And right there were people where Cheryl's standing in those gates. There's in those lines, there's goats waiting to be sacrificed. I mean, these people still practice blood sacrifices to demonic gods over there right now. Crazy stuff. But James and Ruth, and that's two others in their family, that whole family has been totally delivered from the idolatry, totally set free from the whole thing. And they drive an hour and a half from this city all the way into Chennai just to go to New Life Church because they love what's happening at New Life Church because their ministry has totally delivered them from this bondage. Amazing stuff. There's so many stories of people being set free. And I tell you, this ministry with Jacob and what can be done in the Tamil-speaking Asia, there's really no limit to it. There really isn't what we can do. Next year, we're going to go into Sri Lanka and many other Tamil-speaking places. And we're going to set up some real serious meetings. And the exposure that Jacob has and what can be done is incredible what can happen. Did I use that word enough times already? It's incredible. It's amazing. It's the most awesome. Give me another slide. Romans chapter 10, 13 to 17. We're coming to a rapid conclusion. Can you say rapid conclusion? Fantastic. Romans chapter 10. Go there with me real quick. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we step into these rhetorical questions. How then can they call on him who they have not believed in? And how will they believe on him who they have not heard of? And now how shall they hear about him if there's not a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God, the Spirit-quickened, spoken word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But Israel says, all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient people. Now, I want you just to see here there's four things, all right? The outline went funny when we shifted it, but four things right there. And this is so important for you wherever you are. Just turn around. If there's an empty purple chair beside you, just put your hand on it. Just reach beside you. Just reach the one in front of you. Reach around right now. All right, just going to pray right now. You ready? Father, I thank you for the lives that need to be in those chairs. I thank you for the people who need to fill those chairs. I thank you that there's people who need to know the goodness of God that I know, need to experience the freedom I've experienced because of your goodness. And I thank you for the purple chairs being filled. I thank you for several services on Sunday where these chairs are filled to overflowing because people need to know that you're a wonderful and a good God. And now, Father, I also acknowledge that some of these purple chairs are only going to be filled if I do something about it. So, Father, convict me right now of my responsibility to open my mouth and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to share the good news. Four things right there. First of all, if you're going to share the good news, number one, you got to be present. Say present. You know, what I love about new converts is we had one of our new converts while we were away, I understand, brought all kinds of new friends. And one of the folks has called up and wants some help, and we're going to work with them. What's so beautiful about new converts is that new converts still have a base of people that they know and care about, and they're still hooked up with people who need Jesus, and they have been so impacted and their lives so changed, but they're still present where they are, they're still real where they are, and people are seeing transformations take place in their lives. And you know what, we've got to be real, we've got to be present, we've got to be authentic where we are, we've got to be manifesting the wonderful goodness of God, not be creepy, not be weird, not be strange, but be real, present, authentic believers. And, you know, you're present, are you present where you are? Are you aware of what's going on where you are? Not only should we be present, but there's got to be a proclamation. There's got to be a manifestation. You should be manifesting something. There should be a demonstration that you are who you say you are. You should be present, but there should be a proclamation, because it says that how are they going to know unless there's a preacher? There's got to be a word. There's got to be rhema. There's got to be something that you're sharing that is revelational for people's lives. You know, you can proclaim things. You can speak things. You can literally have revelation about what people's lives you're working with or working for. You can get that revelation from heaven that Peter had, you are the Christ. You can get revelation about them of breakthroughs in lives that are right in front of you. You got to be present. You got to have access to lives, but then you've got to be willing to make a proclamation. The next thing is persuasion. You got to be willing to be persuasive. Sometimes you got to persuade some people. Don't be obnoxious, but you know, some people you got to work on. You got to help. Some people you got to ask a few more times. Don't pull, well, they don't want anything to do with it. I don't care if they want anything to do with it. They need to know my Jesus. There's got to be some persuasion. Then you know what? The power is the word. It says that word, that rhema, is a powerful word. You are speaking a word that is powerful, that will cause faith to arise. When they hear that word, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word. And if we're going to cause faith and belief in people's hearts and lives, we got to be people who know how to speak the rhema words of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, historically and sadly, God's word has been communicated by theologians who are thinkers only. Historically, God and his word have been communicated by theologians who are thinkers only. How many know that even here in North America, and even other places, they even go to like a world conference, and sometimes people are more trying to be eloquent and show that they know what they're talking about than they literally show that they know who they're talking about. And I don't want to hear from somebody who is a great thinker. I do want to hear from somebody who is a great thinker, but also a great lover. I do want to hear from somebody who's passionate about the one they believe in. When you are in love with God, you will be in love with people. When you're in love with God, you will be in love with people. And you know what? Lovers are infectious. If you really love God, I mean, who wants to hear somebody talk about something and they don't really give a rip? Who wants to hear somebody talk about a product that they don't even own themselves, that they don't even believe in themselves? You want to hear about somebody's passion for what they're doing and what they believe in. Are you really a lover of God? You know what? Lovers are infectious. I want people to be great thinkers, but we have filled the earth with people who are great thinkers and give wonderful historical talks about a Jesus. But you know, there's not as many just passionate lovers of God who've also got their thinking in line. We need people who are passionate, people who are lovers of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. And you know, I was really impacted by the fact that everywhere I went, there's churches. And everywhere I went, there's people are there, because generation after generation has picked up that revelation that you are the Christ. Now, this really impacted me. You ready? That is happening gives us a revelation that Jesus' words have power and that he will do what he says. Jesus said, I will build my church. And you know, when you go around and you see churches everywhere, when you see that this is happening in the earth and you see how it's advancing, they say Ghana right now, by some statistics, is 70% Christian. That's pretty huge. 70%. And it really is. It's just Jesus everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It's just Jesus everywhere. But you see, it's happening throughout the earth. But here's what struck me then. All right, if Jesus said, I will build my church, and his church everywhere is growing, what else did he say he'd do? And this, when I saw that promise leapt in my spirit, but it brought me to this conclusion. What else did he say he would do? What else did he say he would do? Did he not say that I will forgive your sin? Did he not say that I will save you? Did he not say that I will heal you? Did he not say that I will deliver you? Did he not say that I will bless you? Did he not say that I'll make you the head and not the tail? Did he not say that I will exalt you? I will honor you. I will give you the same glory and power that is on me. I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. I mean, just that one thing. I share it with you because it impacted me in such a big way. I love wherever I go to see churches. But then so strongly I was impacted by the fact, look at all the churches. I went, yeah, look at all the churches. I said, look at all the churches. I went, look at all the churches. Wow. And in that dusty little corner, Jesus said, I will build my church. I will save you. I will heal you. I will redeem you. I will forgive you. I will heal you. Every one of those words is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And he is faithful to do what he said he will do. I've seen it. You on the way home, take a look. You'll see it all over the neighborhoods where you go home, all over London. Some of them not so powerful, some of them kind of empty. But nonetheless, all over the city are places that were built to say, you are the Christ. And our best days are yet to come. And they're happening right now. And we're going to see a glorious church fill London, fill the earth. And I tell you, folks, this church is on the bleeding edge of something powerful and something great. And I am thrilled to partner with you. And I know it's going to be big. And you should lift your eyes higher. The vision is so much bigger than you can imagine, because we will touch every continent and every corner of this earth. And we will be an impact people in the nations of this world. You want to go on a run? You want to go on a ride? You want to do something great? That's what it's all about. Come on, stand up with me right now. Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. We just thank you for your goodness to us right now. Jesus, you said it. You said, I will build my church. It's your church, Lord. You said you're going to do it. And you have, and you are. And I see it growing. I see it taking hold in the earth today. I see it forcefully advancing. I see you attending to every word spoken with power and with signs and with wonders. I see you moving. I see an urgency in the Spirit today to manifest your power and your glory throughout the whole earth. And I thank you that we are the church for the purpose of proclaiming your kingdom. I thank you that your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom, and of the advance of it, and of the forceful advance of it, there'll be no end. So, Father, we bless you for it. But right here, right now, you're faithful to your word. You really are. And, Lord, there can be people here right now today who need to hear not just I will build my church, but they need to hear I will save you. I will heal you. I will forgive you. I will restore to you things that have been stolen. I will lift you up. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. I will bring you through. I will exalt you. I will turn this around. This will result in good. Lord, people need to hear that even today. Father, I know that you are a faithful God, and let your promises come into manifestation right now. As this word goes forth, let faith arise. As this word goes forth, let people believe right now that you will honor your word and do what you said you will do. So, Father, I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Can you do something? Everybody's praying. All the believers are praying. Just be praying right now, because maybe you're here today and you came to a church, but you know we are the church so that you can get exposed to a wonderful living God. That's what it's about. And I want you to know him. I want you to experience what it is to know a wonderful, loving Savior. If you're here today, I don't know everybody. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to lead you to the knowledge of what it is to know him as your Savior. And I can pray for you, and we can bring you to a relationship with God through prayer, through the confession of your mouth that he's your Savior. And I want to do that right now. So if you'd like to do that, if you'd like to know Jesus as your Savior, you'd like to know and begin that journey with a wonderful God, I'm just going to count to three, and we're praying for you right now. But I'm going to count to three, and at three, just put up your hand and say, pray for me. I want to know Jesus. I want him to be my Savior. If you'll do that, we're going to pray with you. Are you ready? Here we are. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift your hand right now, wherever you are. Just lift up your hand really high so we can pray for you. Is there anyone right now? Say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. 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 Bless you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the forceful advance of your kingdom. We thank you for the forceful advance of your word. We thank you for the forceful advance of your purpose. We thank you that throughout the earth today, there are congregations, there are ecclesias, there are groups rising up on that revelation that you are the Christ. Where you are the Christ is being proclaimed, people are gathering, people are coming together, people are uniting their hearts, and they are expressing and boldly declaring that you are the Christ. We declare right here, we declare right on this little corner at Adelaide and Little Simcoe that you are indeed the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the one who takes away the sins of the whole world, and you are the Redeemer of mankind. And Father, we thank you for that, and we bless you. And Father, we want to be used, we want to be thrust, we want to be sent, we want to be loosed into the fields of the earth. We want to have an impact where we are, but we have a DNA that cries for your glory, not just to fill this block or this city or this nation, but we want to see the world, we want to see the globe flooded with the knowledge of the glory of God. So Father, we're hooking up with that, we believe for that, and we desire for that in Jesus' precious name. Ask those who are ministering today, there's people assigned for altar ministry and altar team, can you guys come up right now and just kind of face the congregation? And there's folks ready to pray for you. You know, I pray that you would just see that, you know what, if he did that, if he fulfills his word, if the church is built and the church is growing in the earth today, you know, he will do everything else that he said. Everywhere where he said, I will, that is his will, that is his desire to do that in your heart and your life. So, you know, if you need to be forgiven today, if you need to experience salvation, if you need to experience healing, if you need a revelation, if you need any demonstration of the manifest will of your Father, people are here right now to pray for you. People are here right now to minister to you. People are here right now to agree with you, and you can experience a healing touch. Come on to the altar. Come on and get ministry. Come on and experience the faithfulness of a wonderful, loving God. Come on. The altars are open. You can come. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to send you on your way. Have an awesome day. I'm going to have a birthday cake with my mom. I'm going to have a great time. So let me bless you, okay? Father, I thank you for your wonderful love. I thank you that your love, Lord, I pray as the Apostle Paul did, that the revelation, knowledge of it, that the length, the width, the height, and the depth would penetrate the hearts of each and every one here, that the revelation, knowledge of it would grip everyone. I thank you for the grace, Jesus, your grace. I thank you for that unmerited favor. I thank you that your grace is lavishly bestowed upon us. And I pray that revelation would sink into every heart. Holy Spirit, your comfort. Holy Spirit, your partnership. Holy Spirit, that you are with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me, but you're with me to cause the purposes of God to come forth in my life. I am ever so grateful. And now I just command that wonderful peace. That peace that passes understanding, that peace that is supernatural, that peace that is empowering, liberating, that peace that can lift up, that peace that can penetrate every situation of life, that peace that is the very peace of God, that it would wrap and surround each and every one. I send them forth just to go on a conquest for your honor and for your glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.